beeps, we're ready to record.
Good.
So hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the 6 button on your phone so you can mute all background noises. At the end, we'll take a few questions, and at that time, I'll ask those of you who have questions to please push the 6 again so we can hear you. The format for the call is simply that I will interview Hope and then open the lines up for a few questions. So let's get started. I'd like to welcome any guests that we may have on the call from Hope's following. For those of you who don't know me, I am Dotsie Bregel, founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found online at www.nabbw.com. And also BoomerWomenSpeak.com, which is www.BoomerWomenSpeak.com, and that's plural. Women is plural. And both have become the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering boomer women, and since launching Boomer Women Speak, which we are going to celebrate our 5th anniversary on October 31st, we will be online for 5 years, and ever since then, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting boomer women on a daily basis. So I really feel like I have my finger on the pulse of the spirited generation, and I dedicate a great portion of my time to creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live them to the fullest. By the grace of God, I've become the go-to person for journalists who are interested in learning more about boomer women. So my prayer is to embrace all women and provide them with the means to soar. The fee to join the NABBW is $75. However, I'd like to offer any of those on the call who are not members of the association and who are on Hope's mailing list the opportunity to join for $60. So all you would have to do is simply email me at dots@nabbw.com, and I'll send you the reduced link to join. Okay, the topic for our call this evening is Funds for Writers, the Facts and the Fiction of Grants for Writers, and who better to educate us on this topic than Hope Clark, who is the founder and editor of FundsForWriters.com. Welcome, Hope.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me just give you a little rundown about Hope. I've got a lot to share with you, which will, you know, inform you about how come she's the one to share this information with us. Hope is the founder and editor of FundsForWriters.com. Funds for Writers includes an award-winning website, 4 newsletters, and a myriad of e-books to aid writers seeking financial means for their writing. Writer's Digest selected FundsForWriters.com for its 101 best websites for writers for the last 7 years in a row. That is incredibly impressive. How long have you been online, Hope?
7.5 years.
7.5. Wow, you got off to a great start. Her newsletters reach thousands of writers and averaging 50 to 100 new readers per day. Now, she is also the author of The Shy Writer, which is an introvert's guide to writing success, and it's actually being released in its 2nd edition this week. Hope likes to blend all of her writing endeavors, and she offers a free subscription to Total Funds for Writers with each paperback purchase of The Shy Writer, and she'll tell us a little bit more about that. Hope has been published in Writer's Digest, The Writer, Byline Magazine, Writer's Weekly, and plenty of other writing-related periodicals and websites. Actually, tons of them, I'm sure. Right, Hope?
There's a few.
She has a degree in agriculture and also enjoys publishing in related trade publications like Turf, Landscape Management, and Landscape Construction. I just find that so interesting. How did you get around to writing and out of the agriculture degree?
I started in writing and edited my high school yearbook, was offered a fellowship in journalism, and turned it down because at that time, you know, the arts were not considered something you got into and made a decent living at.
Yes, and I think that's why a lot of women are getting back into writing at midlife.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
The reason I did it.
Yeah. Well, Hope also has a soft spot for teen writers, which I think is very cool. And she helped found Little Owl Mentoring Program, which is based at absynthemuse.com. That's a website for young adult writers. So therefore, she writes for related periodicals like Next Step Teen, College Bound Teen, Voices of Youth Advocates, and American Careers. And for those of you who are having a hard time catching all of this information, like if you want to look into some of these things that she writes for, some of the websites that she's on, don't fret, because we will send you an audio of the call, and then we also have our calls transcribed in case you don't have, you know, the capability for audio on your computer. You can read this teleseminar. So, and if you're not a member of the association and you're listening, just email us and we'll send that to you. Okay, so let's see. Hope not only writes columns for Funds for Writers, but she also is a monthly columnist for WOW, which is at womenonwriting.com, writersontherise.com, thedabblingmum.com, and Colugo.com, which is a new collegiate website that's coming out the first of 2008. So there's another new website coming out. Okay, she'd like everyone to visit fundsforwriters.com and spend a while there. It's detailed with information with news on grants, contests, markets, and publishers galore. Between now and the end of the year, she is offering the paid subscription Total Funds for Writers at $6, which is half price, if you sign up for one of her free newsletters. So spend much time in the Fund for Writers families, and you'll see that Hope is all about bringing more money to the writer. And that is why I'm sure the women that are on the call tonight are on the call. They want to learn more. And do you want to say anything about, you want to expound on that in any way, Hope?
Well, it's funny. I got started doing Funds for Writers by just falling into it. And it was because I found out so many women wanted to write and were not comfortable either online or didn't have the time to start researching markets and researching how to get into this or how to get my feet wet. And I was actually giving a talk in Atlanta. I had just started working online. I had decided that I was still at the day job, working for the government, working for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I was sick of it. Had worked 3 years, I think, and I would come home and write at night. Well, I started writing online and just doing book reviews and things like that, and it kind of took up a knack for writing for the online market, and so I was asked to speak. So I was giving them some inside information on how to write online, which we all know now is so much different than writing for a magazine, and I couldn't get through the talk for people fussing about the cost of being a writer. Yeah, I'd have someone make a, you know, a little aside going, well, how am I supposed to mail my manuscript? I can't even afford the ink for my printer, you know, and things like that. And
right.
And so I would, yeah, I kept getting distracted. And after about the, you know, the fifth or sixth time, I'm like, ladies, let's talk. I'm hearing a different problem than what I came here to talk on. Have you tried this? Have you tried that? And so we just started having a sit-down brainstorm session. And they took my email, and I started getting emails. Of course, they told their friend who told their friend. And I kept explaining, giving little suggestions on where to find things online and how to manage a part-time writing business, and got tired of typing it over and over and over again. So I created the newsletter. And the newsletter grew within 2 months. I think it grew to 1,000 members, which just floored me. And when you consider this was almost 8 years ago, that was pretty good.
Absolutely, sure.
And, you know, from there on out, what I didn't realize is my lifetime career in agriculture, which happened to be in agricultural lending. So, you see, I had my finger in financial funds all the
time.
I understood grants, I understood loans, and, you know, did financial counseling, only I did it on a larger scale than individuals. I did it for businesses and nonprofits and farms. And realized I knew more, I assumed more people knew what I knew, I think. And I realized that I probably had my finger on the pulse of finance better than the average person out there, and I know better than the average writer because I have so learned writers are right brain and money aspect is so left brain.
Right.
So they're so opposite. So that, you know, I just branched off into Funds for Writers, and within a year of that I had Funds for Writers Small Markets because I couldn't stuff everything into one newsletter, and now there's four.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so interesting. You're such an inspiration, Hope, and I'll tell you why. Because all we talk about now, and there are so many books out and articles online, et cetera. I mean, Moore just held their reinvention convention in New York City, and that's exactly what you did. You reinvented yourself at midlife. You took what, and what exactly what you did is what other women are doing, and that's, you know, leaving the corporate world, taking their gifts and their skills that they had and using them for their own good and for the good of other people. And gosh, it's, I didn't realize, you know, what your connection was with what you did prior to this and how all of this evolved. So that's really exciting. That's music to NABBW's ears because that's what we're about. You know, find your passion and go for it. So we like to help women find their passion and you know, kind of figure it out and then give them some of the resources to keep on that path. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the call. How can we learn about the arts commissions and the many reasons that they're a friend for our writing careers?
Well, there's an arts commission in every single state.
Okay.
And I think most people don't realize that. It's a part of every state government, and it's funded with federal funds, state funds. Every once in a while there'll be a foundation donation. But they have money that their only purpose for existence is to infuse funds into the arts community. Now, they can be visual, it can be dance, you know, in performance, it can be literary. But regardless, that they have a whole staff of doing nothing but that. And anyone comes to me, that is the very first place I say is, have you talked to your arts commission yet? Because you are really falling down on the job if you don't start there, because that's where you find the most grants for individuals.
Huh. And how would you go about finding them in each state? Do you just Google arts commissions in, you know, in Maryland? Is it by state? Is it by city? Yeah, how do you do that?
Okay. The state government arts commissions are by state.
Okay.
And the easiest way to find, I send everybody to two general websites, and then they can click on a map for their state. You can go to the National Endowment for the Arts, which is NEA.gov.
Okay.
And they will have a map in there for you to find your state. And also the National Association of State Arts Agencies, which is NASAA-ARTS.org.
Okay, and then do they have, is it broken down, like if someone's interested in photography or film or writing or dance or whatever, is it broken down, or do you just kind of start at the top and then learn through emails what comes next?
Well, it's broken down by individuals and by groups.
Okay.
Which is, most people don't realize that most grants go to groups. It's very difficult to find grants for individuals, and that's what I specialize in. I dig all over creation finding these things because they are like, they're like hen's teeth. I mean, you just can't find them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason we get so many people subscribing to our newsletters, because if they're out there, we've got them. But they will list them by, like I said, by artist and by groups, so that if you happen to belong to, say, a writer's group, and you want a grant for your group to pull off a project, a book fair, or a literacy program, they've got funds for that, grant funds for that. You will hardly see a state writer's group like the South Carolina Writers Workshop I'm speaking for this weekend. They have funded part of their conference with state grant money. Now, on the individual side, you click on that link, and you'll see grants for fellowships. Every state has fellowships, where they are looking at the work you've done before as well as a project you hope to complete, and then they offer grants to those that, they select, which is a highly competitive grant process. But I always tell people, don't think you can't get it, because so many people think they can't get it, you'd be amazed at how few apply.
Okay, that's a great point, because that's one thing, you know, one of the questions I had, you know, what is the competition like? So basically, if you have the determination and the willpower to follow through, you have a pretty good chance, because a lot of people probably get stuck on the application.
They do. They do get stuck, and a lot of people get intimidated on filling out paperwork.
Right.
And they won't apply. And also, if you don't win the first year, I've served on enough grant panels that selected grants to know that you start recognizing the names that keep coming back, and you start recognizing the diligence and the motivation in those people.
Ah, good point. And then let me ask, if you apply again the next year, is it another application, or is it similar, but you just have to fill it out again?
It's a whole well, you never know. I mean, it's the same application process.
Mm-hmm.
You never know if they're going to tweak the application and change it from where you just fill in the blank to where it's going to be a narrative. But there's no one format, I guess, for every grant.
Okay.
It's like applying. It's like if you want to write for a magazine or you want to pitch your book to an agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no two agents want the same thing, and no two magazine editors have the same guidelines.
Right. Very
it's
good.
It's the same process. You just have to study the guidelines to see how to apply for the grant.
And just make sure you follow those guidelines.
Oh,
and,
through the letter.
Yeah, and I mean, you would think it would be to our advantage as writers, because we write. So, I mean, you'd think the application and filling in all the information would be easier for us, as opposed to someone who's a filmmaker who aren't necessarily maybe used to writing. So we definitely have that in our favor to begin with.
Right. And another important thing about a grant application is putting the passion in it. And so many people forget that. They think because they're filling out a form for a grant that there's no place for passion, and it's quite the opposite.
Okay. That's another great point. So just make sure that you put your passion for your project in there.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay. Do you have anything else to say about that?
On the Arts Commission, they're more than just the fellowship grants. Some states, and you can't predict, just because it's a big state, small state, well-populated state, you cannot tell from that how well the Arts Commission is organized, because I've seen some small states that are so well-funded. And then you've got states like California where you can't find any money. You know, it's so get very intimately familiar with your state's art organization, because they can have the fellowships, but they can also have travel grants to get you to a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And they can have funds for you to go away on a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
They can have emergency funds. And every, like I said, every state is different. And they may have, which state is it? I think it might be Kentucky. That's doing a big celebration for Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. And they are actually doing specific grants that are centered around Abraham Lincoln and projects involving that. So, you know, you just got to keep up with your Arts Commission. And every one of them has a newsletter.
Okay.
Or has some publication for you to sign up for.
Okay, great. Very good. Now, would you mind repeating those two websites that you mentioned at the beginning about trying to find the Arts Commission?
Okay, the National Endowment for the Arts, which is the federal arm of the arts. It's NEA.gov.
Okay.
And then the other one is the National Assembly of State Art Associations. I believe that's right. And it's NASAA-Arts, A-R-T-S, .org.
Okay, great. All right. And like I said, you know, we can listen to this again, and it'll also be, you know, in a document that people can read. All right, let's move on to finding scholarships for conferences, because I know there are tons of great conferences all around the country, actually in the world. But, and you know, again, writers don't always have the funds, but they know there's one that might pertain if they're a mystery writer, a fiction writer, or, you know, a Christian writer or whatever, and it's not something that's local that they would like to travel to. How can we find scholarships for something like that?
One, check with the Arts Commission.
Okay.
See if they have anything available.
Mm-hmm.
I know, for example, in Arizona, they have got funds to allow you to travel outside the state, because their state might not have something funded for you.
Okay.
So, you know, check with your Arts Commission. Also check with professional organizations. And that means if you belong to a state writers group or a national writers group or an arm of a national writers group, you know, like the Mystery Writers of America and Romance Writers of America, all of those, check with your local chapters because some of them have got money for conferences. Also, contact the conference itself. They may not advertise that they have scholarship money available. Most of them do. And they can't broadcast it because everybody would come out asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they may just have, you know, a couple of $1,000s extra to fund 3 or 4 or 5 people. And rather than go through all that headache process of processing 100 applications for, you know, to pick out 3, they don't say anything about the money. So the best thing is to just pick up the phone, call the conference chair, and say, hey, this is my situation. Do y'all have any assistance to come to your conference?
Boy, that's easy enough.
Oh, it's very easy. If you're, and I could tell you story after story of people who've done that and wound up at conferences.
Wonderful. Any other avenues for finding scholarships for conferences?
Let's see. You might try local arts groups. There are things called arts councils, and they are more locally oriented, whether they're in a city or they're in a county or just in a region of the country. You can contact them as well. They operate primarily off of foundation and nonprofit money with a little bit of trickle-down maybe from the state. But they have funds to perpetuate the arts in a geographic region. And so you might be able to just go right downtown in the place you live, find an arts council who might have a couple of dollars and help you get there.
Okay, very good. All right, I think you've probably exhausted those ideas for scholarships for conferences. So let's move on to discovering places that you can get away and write, like writer's retreats and that type of thing. Do you have any, you know, good ones that you can recommend?
Oh, as far as retreats, I'd have had a ball getting ready for another conference where I just listed retreat after retreat after retreat. And I've got a list of them from all over the United States to all over Europe, and I think there's even some in South America. I know there's one in the Azores. And to find those, you have to compete in most cases, or at least apply like you would for a grant. There is an application process in order to qualify for those. To find the retreats, I've got several places for folks to look. One is, of course, shawguides.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of conferences in there, but you also see retreats, and a lot of times they're kind of combined together. It's a good place to look for both and then just contact them direct to see what their application process is. Of course, my newsletters, those are like gold to me. When I find those, they instantly go into the newsletters in enough time to allow people to apply for them. ResidentArtist.org, it's R-E-S, artist, .org. They specialize in international retreats.
Ooh.
So those are really nice.
Okay. And they also offer money to attend.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So just so everybody understands, we're not just talking about places, you know, to get away and write. We're addressing places to get away and write that you can get money to attend, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, they'll have people there who are paying their way, and then there'll be some who are on a scholarship basis. You have to apply for the scholarship like you would anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it'll just make your mouth water looking at some of these places. It's really, really, like Costa Rica,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Azores, France, it's Scotland. It's just amazing. Another place is the U.S. National Park Service. There are many national parks that offer writer retreats.
Now, see, that's something I never would have thought of, but what a great idea.
And it's very hard to find them because they've got their link buried so far down in their website. I have to rack my brain trying to remember how to find it each time. They have it listed under volunteers on their website. But you'll see that it's 15 or 20 national parks that they've designated for such purpose. And, you know, they have specific months. out of the year that they allow this to happen. And of course, they have cabins or wherever, you know, bungalows. I don't know what they have, but places for nothing other than artists and writers to attend for anywhere from a week to a couple of months.
Oh, my gracious. So just to address everyone on the line and say, it sounds like it's a great idea to sign up for these newsletters, because this is the kind of stuff that Hope shares on a weekly basis. I mean, she finds these gems and she puts them out there for everybody else. So I just thought I would mention that. Okay, anything else about getting away to write? Do you have any favorites that you've done?
Actually, I've done none. I am sitting where I want to be.
Yes. I understand that. You don't like to go away. I've heard you say that before.
I am so entrenched at my place on the lake. And I joke about it a lot in the newsletter, but I worked very hard to leave corporate America.
And travel.
Yes. Well, no, I did. I don't want to travel.
Yeah, no. I mean, to just leave the whole rat race of the working and the traveling and all of that. Yeah.
Yes, I was flying to St. Louis or D.C. about once a month, and it got hectic, mm-hmm. and it was getting very political because I was with the federal government, and my next step up in a career ladder would have been politics, and I'm like, no, I don't want to go there.
No, I hear you.
I spent 3 years putting my finances in order and saving up and paying off things and coordinating with the rest of my family until I actually made the leap and left.
Mm-hmm.
And built this place after a few years. I built this place out on the lake, just moved into it last year, and you know, I sit here and overlook the water, and this is where I want to be. So I haven't applied for any of the retreats because I do fine right here.
Well, there you go. So we don't have to worry about Hope getting all this funding. All right. I've heard you mention that schools are grant meccas. Can you tell us why?
Yes, I can, because every arts commission, and you'll hear me gravitate back to those babies over and over again, every arts commission has an artist-in-residence program or an artist-in-education. It's either AIE or AIR. You'll see them on every arts commission website. States want to fund the schools and do anything education-related, as you know we all do. You will hardly find a grant provider out there that doesn't at some time send funds to an educational project. So you can actually apply to get on an artist roster in every state.
Huh.
You're not necessarily limited to your state.
Wow.
There are some writers that are in multiple states. But you actually put in an application saying who you are, what you do, and what you can present to students. And we're talking elementary to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then they accept you on a roster, and then the schools actually contact the Arts Commission and go, hey, we want an artist or a writer to speak to us or put on a performance or, you know, work with us for a week or two. However, a lot of children's writers use this. A lot of historians use this. But then the state gives the school a grant to put on their performance, and, of course, out of that grant pays the writer's salary.
Hmm.
So the writer can actually go into the school, put on a project, and get paid for doing it, and that includes the travel to get there, the meals, and an hourly stipend.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It is, and a lot of people, you'd be amazed how small some of these rosters are because a lot of people don't take advantage of them. Now, PTOs are a good connection. PTOs are nonprofit.
Now, that's parent-teacher organization?
Right.
Okay.
They're nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
They have a budget, and they can pay speakers, and they can pay writers to come in.
Mm-hmm.
People think that writers think they've always got to volunteer their time when it comes to education. Shoot, no. I mean, there's funds out there. You know, tell them, go right up front. You know, I come in and speak, and this is what I do, and this is my fee.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be amazed how many people won't even blink and pay that fee.
Now, Hope, what is a good fee rate, like a good, I guess, like a good range for, say, an author to go into a school And do, whether it's like one class for an hour or a whole day, is there any place where you can find a good rate sheet for something like that?
I haven't been able to put my hands on it, however.
Okay.
Some of the arts commissions, when you go into their arts roster site and take a look at what all is required of you and what all is required of the schools to apply to get you, they will have a basic rate.
Okay.
They'll tell you what the grant will cover. So that gives you really no options. But if you want to, say, negotiate and deal with the PTO, it's really, really hard to say, because when you're talking about speaking with students, it's a whole lot different environment than speaking with adults. And, for instance, I speak for expenses and $400, and then if I went to a school, it might be for 50. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, that's what I was just trying to, you know, get a feel for and to help everybody realize that fee can really vary,
really
depending upon, you know, who you're working with and whether it's a nonprofit, if it's a school, if it's a big corporation, you know, those types of things. But one thing that I would just like to mention while we're speaking of this is that we tend to undersell ourselves, and that it's really important for us not to do that. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
You know, we have an area of expertise and we need to charge for it.
We do, and I just had an experience with that with a conference in Florida. They contacted me and said, would I speak with them next year? And they said, we can't pay you an honorarium or a stipend, but we'll cover your motel room, and we can't pay for you to get down there. And I wrote them back and said, I'm just terribly sorry, but I cannot do that. I told myself a long time ago that if I could not, as a minimum, break even, if not make a couple of bucks in my pocket, that it was not worth my time.
Well, yeah, because while you're at the conference, you're not getting your work done.
Exactly.
So you're getting behind by, you know, getting out there, even though they're paying, you know, for your expenses. You're still not really making anything.
Well, they came right back at me and said, well, if you will speak an extra time, say at a morning conference, like our keynote speaker to kick off the second day, we'll cover it all and pay you. And I said, done.
There you go. So really, we have to learn to speak up for ourselves
and just
see if people will work with us. And then if not, then you move on.
Exactly. You don't want to cut yourself short, because it's like I tell writers who write for free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pet peeve of mine, and a lot of people will argue with me, but they say, I need the clips to get started. No, I'm sorry. No editor is going to give those clips the time of day because you wrote for free. You know, you didn't go through any type of grooming process to get selected by that editor. That editor knows that you were writing for free, and that editor, chances are, he's getting... I'm not saying everybody's they're lesser quality writers because they write for free, but what I'm saying is he's not getting writers that respect themselves and charge a fee even coming to him and offering their work. So as a result, you get into this endless cycle when you write for free where you're stuck in lesser markets and you're getting lesser clips and you're spinning your wheels and not making anything of yourself. You just need to kind of put that life behind you and say, I'm worth something, and step up to the next level.
Oh, great point. Okay. Anything else as far as charging what you're worth? Well, actually, we really kind of got off on a tangent there. We were talking about using the schools as grant meccas, but I couldn't help but pick up on that when you started talking about it. So anything else about using the schools?
Yes, even you can actually, if you're not on an artist roster with the Arts Commission, you can contact a teacher or a principal or a school district and say, I have this project I'd like to offer to some of your classes. Can we work up a grant situation? And the school can apply for a grant to cover you. You can work for half a year. You know, it's just a matter of your creativity and what you have to offer to those students. If you can come up with something that you think will fit into the curriculum, then any teacher can write a grant to get you funded.
Okay, that's great. I didn't know that. Very good. All right, let's move on to learning how nonprofits can be our friends in finding a grant.
Oh, a lot of people don't, they just kind of clue me out when I start talking nonprofits because it sounds kind of hairy, and until I worked for the federal government, I didn't have a clue what they were either. But nonprofits are nothing other than a regular business that's not allowed to actually make a profit. I mean, they make a profit, but it has to be 100% poured back into the institution for whatever social cause it represents.
Okay.
That's the only difference between a for-profit and a nonprofit. They still have to operate in the black, just like any business. If they start losing money, then they're shut down by the state.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, nonprofits, that is just a world of grants. That's where 95% of the grants come from and where they go to. So you can see a writers a lot of time can't tap into these millions and millions of dollars of funds because they're geared to go to nonprofits. Actually, you know, foundations are nonprofits. Foundations and nonprofits give to nonprofits. It's a, you know, we see all this money exchanging hands, and it's just given from Peter to Paul, and
mm-hmm.
and the individuals kind of get left out in the cold unless they tap into the nonprofits. And in doing that, that means contacting, say, let's just take it down to a level, a charity you feel passionate about, and you've got a writing project that might fit in with their mission. I don't know if you write about animals or you write about homeless, or you could even write fiction, you see,
mm-hmm.
or you could do short stories or memoirs from people in homeless shelters or soup kitchens or however. But if you can tap into a social cause, there is a nonprofit there who might be willing to fund what you're doing or fund what you're writing.
Okay, and how do we find those nonprofits? Is there a specific website?
Every state's different, but an easy way is to tap into the United Way. The
okay.
United Way lists the majority of nonprofits that are out there for social causes, but also your Department of State within your state
mm-hmm.
is where nonprofits have to register, and they are public information. Most states have them on their website.
Okay, yeah, I know here in Baltimore we have a library for nonprofits, so I know that's a place, you know, that we have here. I don't know if every big city has something like that. Or if
Is that the Foundation Center?
Pardon me?
The Foundation Center?
It's actually a library for nonprofits.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, so I only know about it because I have a good friend who is a librarian who retired from the county and then, you know, kind of took this as a part-time job working there, and she just loves it. So, okay, so that's
one aspect. But
okay.
I'm going to give you some simpler ones. That's probably the hardest way to do it is where you come up with a project and find a nonprofit that kind of match your vision and y'all get together and they give you a grant for it. But another one is fiscal sponsorship. And some nonprofits might be willing to act as your fiscal sponsor. That means you can't get the grant as an individual, but a nonprofit can get the grant as a nonprofit. And then what they do is they hold the money on your behalf and fund you as your expenses take place. But in the old days, writers had sponsors. That's how they lived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, artists did the same thing. You know, you had your, you know, your well-to-do sponsors. And that's what these nonprofits do as fiscal sponsors. And where it benefits them is that they are allowed 10 to 20% of the money to help fund their nonprofit. So you see it's an income earner for them.
Okay, and what kind of expenses are covered? Are you just talking about, like, you know, I'm writing 40 hours a week. Can I collect a salary? Or
you need
are you
a
talking...
project. You need a project.
Okay, so for whatever the project is, and then is it basically handled as a lump sum? Or
the lump sum goes to the nonprofit.
Okay.
And then what you do is you've got a budget
mm-hmm.
that you've given them that you need funds for your writing time, or you need funds for research
mm-hmm.
or for travel,
yes.
you know, telephone calls to agents, whatever you want to label it, but you actually hand them a budget and say, listen, I got this great project I want to write. Would y'all be my fiscal sponsor? You know, it's basically that simple.
Wow.
And they apply for a grant on your behalf. the problem is finding a nonprofit that's willing to take the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them have got a lot of time on their hands, and others are operating strictly on volunteer basis, you know, moment to moment. So that it takes a little research. But let me make it a little simpler. Going to the Foundation Center online. The Foundation Center is the place to find nonprofits for the United States.
Okay, the Foundation Center, how about a website?
FDNCenter.org.
Okay.
You can go into their database and search for grants and
okay.
search for nonprofits. They also have individual grants. That is a wealth of information at this website.
Okay.
You can sign up for their newsletters. They have databases that you can pay for. I think they're like $9 a month for unlimited access to all their information.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their databases are free. If I hear of a foundation or a nonprofit that may have grants and I can't find a website, which a good many of them don't have websites, I go into the Foundation Center, I type in the name, and I pull up the tax records because tax records are public information. And on those tax records are phone numbers and addresses.
Oh, golly. What a researcher. That's wonderful.
I'm taking it on down, make it easier. I've gone from the most complicated. I'm going to take it to the least.
Okay.
The New York Foundation for the Arts
mm-hmm.
is not limited to New York.
Okay.
And it's nyfa.org.
Mm-hmm.
They broadcast the fact that if you are a writer, if you are an artist, and you seek a fiscal sponsor, they would be glad to be your fiscal sponsor. So there you go. If you have a project you want to do, you can contact the New York Foundation for the Arts. I think they've got a deadline coming up in November. And apply and say, hey, I need money to write my book and take time off from work or whatever. And this, you know, my goal is to do it by this date. Would you be my sponsor? And they review it to think to see how credible you may be or how
mm-hmm.
diligent you may be and go, well, yeah, be glad to. And here's some grants that we're aware of.
Now, do you have to tell who, like if you're going to write a book, do you need to tell them who the publisher is or do you not have to be that far along or what do you recommend as far as that goes?
No, you don't have to. I mean, it's great if you do. I mean,
right. I'm sure it is.
Guarantee you a grant, but.
But you don't have to have a publisher.
No, most don't.
Okay, okay.
Most don't. Because, you know, you've got to write the fiction in particular. It's got to be written before you can pitch it. So.
Right, okay. Anything else? Because we're running out of time, and I want to have a chance to take a couple questions. Anything else on the nonprofit?
Just check your local community foundations. Every community has one, and they're very quiet. And that's where families will actually donate their own little small pieces of money. Where a lot of college scholarships are. But a community foundation in your area, chances are they've got some individual grants that may be available to you.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see. I'm just looking at the time. We have about 15 minutes. All right. Let's do this one last question. What are the secrets to winning a grant?
The same secrets into winning a contract to be published. It's to do your homework, to make sure what you're applying for meets the purposes of the grant provider,
mm-hmm.
Which you will. Every grant provider has a mission. Now, when it comes to an arts commission, it's purely, you know, you got it covered. You're a writer, but it's you take that application and you write it to perfection, no typos, no grammatical errors. You also instill your passion into that application, and I don't care if it's a fill-in-the-blank application, you know, on those one or two lines, you make that judge that's reading that application wish they were writing. You make them wish they could be a writer. Because 9 times out of 10, that's who's judging these things are people who are wannabes.
Okay.
So it's a matter of instilling your passion in the application. Also, talk to people who have won these grants. The winner,
now, how do you find the grants that you can win? Why don't you tell us that? When you're saying, you know, the secrets to winning a grant, how do you find out these grants are available? That's where you just go to these different websites there another way about it?
No, that's the only way.
That's
to do
the
it.
Only
go
way.
To these different websites and look for the calls for submissions.
Okay, because I didn't know if perhaps you often put you know, told about certain grants that were available in your newsletter or anything?
I thought besides me. Oh, gosh, no. I list a zillion of them, yes.
Okay, you do. All right. And then so women, you know, will have that information, and then they go from there, and they just basically, it sounds like if you do your homework, if you're thorough, if you, you know, are really conscientious, you have a great shot.
You do, and it's a matter of being focused. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who write me ask, how can I get a grant to write, but they don't have it fleshed out in their mind what they're going to write.
Right. So you've really got to be organized, you've got to be focused, and you have to follow through. It sounds like follow through is huge also.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's like if you're going to apply for a loan to build a house, you've got to have your homework done before you walk in the door and fill out the application.
Right. Okay, anything else that you want to tell us before we see if anyone on the line has a question?
There's a lot more sites, a lot more places to go. I wish I could cover them all. I've got pages and pages I'm handing out at my conference. It's a matter of being patient. It's just like publishing anywhere. You've got to take the time to do your market research to find the places that best suit your writing. Grants are no different. It's just a homework process.
Okay. So if you're willing to take the time, there are lots of opportunities.
Yes, and that's what makes Funds for Writers so successful, is the fact that that's what we take the time to do. That's what we do.
Oh, sounds great. Gosh, what a great resource. You must feel so good about what you do.
I do. I really do. I thoroughly enjoy what I do now.
Yeah, I heard you say that now. Okay, if anyone's on the call and they muted themselves by pushing 6, now some people came in the call late and didn't mute themselves, but fortunately it's been very quiet. If you have a question and you have muted yourself, please push 6 so we can hear you. And if you haven't muted yourself, go ahead and ask a question. Does anybody have a question for Hope?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Georgia.
Hi, Georgia.
Hey, and I think my phone's fixing to go dead, but so I'll speak quickly for a Southerner. How are you notified if you're accepted? How do they normally notify someone?
Actually, they'll email you or give you, pick up the phone and call you.
Is there a time frame, or do they give that on the site or when you apply for the grant?
There's always a deadline by which to apply, and they'll also give you a date by which you'll be notified.
Okay, I think her phone may have pointed out.
No, I've got the other one. So they take all the guesswork out of it.
Oh, you will definitely know one way or the other.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, they're a lot better than editors.
So they do even notify people who do not.
That's right.
Right, they notify you either way.
Yeah, they're government entities. Most of them are related to the government, so they've got so many rules they've got to follow. So they're quite anal about them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, anything else, Georgia?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, does anybody else on the line have a question? Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
I have a question.
Sure. Who's on the call?
This is Sarita.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. My friend and I have written a book. It's a picture book, and it's directed to young people, 8 years old, 9 years old, and with so many young people being snatched, we wrote this allegory.
Excuse me. Do you mind speaking up just a little bit?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
With so many people, so many young people being snatched, we wrote this allegory to help them to be aware of where they are and just to be aware of their process, you know, of staying with each other. Now, the story is already written, and I don't even know what organization to go to help children to know that they need to take responsibility for keeping themselves safe.
Is the book published yet?
No, it's not. We've been trying very diligently to get it published, but people come back, editors come back and say, this is very interesting, but I don't know quite what to do with it, you know, and we both published authors, So it's not like we're just coming out of the woodwork. But this seems to be an unusual book for them.
Okay, and an editor is going to be scared to do something very controversial.
Yes.
Okay, my suggestion, and I've seen this done before, is to actually, you probably in your research or in your writing are familiar with organizations that dabble in this subject, and that includes law enforcement organizations.
Mm.
Okay, and it's a matter of you might, in something like this, you might consider self-publishing or a local small press, and then coordinate with those law enforcement organizations or nonprofits in actually giving the book to people, to young people that they're dealing with that might be affected. I've seen authors get grants through government entities like law enforcement organizations or schools or shelters, which actually funded the writer to get the book published.
Ah.
Okay. Law enforcement, that's a great idea for that project.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I was thinking more of counseling and organizations, school counselors and things, but they don't fund. But this is an excellent suggestion. I will follow up on that.
And you can also look at the professional organizations for guidance counselors, too, because they're nonprofits.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, anybody else have a question for Hope? See if anybody else is going to speak up. Okay, if no one else has a question, I just want to say, you know, thanks so much, Hope. And if you wanted to share your information about The Shy Writer and your web address and your newsletters one more time before we hang up, that would be great.
Okay, I'd be glad to. We have 4 newsletters. 3 of them are free.
Mm-hmm.
One is a paid subscription. It's called Total Funds for Writers. Total is phenomenal, and I created it because I had too much information to cram into the other 3. It is twice a month or biweekly, and it lists 80 or more contests, grants, calls for submissions, writing jobs. It's just a wealth of information. It's normally $12 a year. We just changed our newsletter providers, and so as a result, I'm offering a discount through the end of the year to entice people to travel with us from one provider to the other. So we're running it at a half price from now to the end of the year. So it's $6 for 26 issues.
And how do they sign up for that and pay for that? Is that right on fundsforwriters.com?
It is on the front page of fundsforwriters.com.
Okay.
And as always, when anyone purchases a paperback version of The Shy Writer, which is my heart and soul, my baby, on how to be a writer and hate getting out in the public. when you ever purchase that, I throw in an annual subscription to Total Funds for Writers.
Okay, so if somebody's interested in that Total. Now, let me ask this. When you get Total, is it necessary to be on the list for the other 3, or is Total everything?
Total is everything and more.
What you
would miss by being in Total and not the free ones is that the free ones are once a week,
mm-hmm.
and you're missing the articles, my editorials, and I will throw in a few grants and a few contests in the basic newsletters that you don't get in Total, just to keep them interesting.
Okay, so then basically you should register for all.
I would, yes.
Okay, that's good to know because I didn't know that. All right, and so let's see. Anything else you need to share before we sign off?
Oh, just wish I had more time. I could talk about this till the cows come home. I've got, you know, so many actual instances of people who have made grants work for them, and it's a very quiet revelation, I guess you could say. There are so few, these nonprofits and these government organizations are not wealthy by any means, so they don't broadcast or advertise the grants that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you do have a lot of time to do some research, Funds for Writers just is probably it when it comes to listing the grants. And that it's not just the United States. I cover grants offered in Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, very few in maybe France and Italy, and a couple in Mexico. But they, predominantly the English-speaking countries, I cover all of their grants.
Okay, wow, that's really great. Okay, I just want to say to anybody that's listening that is not a member of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women that we do these teleseminars monthly. If you join the association and you're on the call tonight, you can join for $60. Just email me at dots@nabbw.com. And one of the exciting things is that when you join, all of the past teleseminars that we've done are also included on the member benefits page, plus many, many other benefits. So I would encourage you to go to nabbw.com and look around. If you have any questions, feel free to email us. And I think that's about it. So Hope, I just want to thank you for the tons of excellent information you gave us this evening. And it's been a pleasure working with you.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, good. I will be in touch. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call. And feel free to email us with any questions. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.